Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
And welcome to the roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio, mothers and daughters around the world. Excited to have you on this morning. Good day. I'm telling you, it's just so exciting. Last week, I was just getting back from Florida at the Butterfly Awards. What an exciting time. Oh, my God, I cannot tell you. It was absolutely wonderful. You're talking about women coming together and actually just working out of love and spirit. Whew, it was awesome. It was awesome. Before I get going and talking about, you know, last week and what went on and all the things that happened at the Butterfly Awards, I definitely want to make sure that we get in with our prayer and giving God thanks, because he really, truly honored. We went to honor him, and he honored us more. He really, really did. It's just awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. One second. I'm still trying to get the switchboard up and in its proper state. So let's go. Thank you all for joining me this morning. Let me get my stuff together here. Thank you for bearing with me. Thank you for coming on this morning. We really, truly thank you. It is an awesome, awesome opportunity to hear a wonderful story. Sometimes when we're moving around in our life, we just really, we're focused on what's going on in our life, and we don't really focus on some of the things that are going on in other people's lives, because we say, well, we got so much going on in our life, but then we have to love each other and be each other's brothers and sisters and our keepers and keep an eye on each other and help each other. And that's kind of what we want to talk about today. And the young lady we have on here today, Deborah, she's going to share some interesting things that happen, and we're going to broaden it out enough so that you can see yourself and see just, oh, but the grace of God, you know, where things could have been, didn't happen, but some things did. But you're going to be able to look at yourself from a different perspective before we finish the show today. But before we get into that, let's see who's on the switchboard here so I can get, I think we have Frida here. Get her to do the prayer this morning. Good morning, Frida.
Hey, good morning, Dr. Bessie.
How are you doing?
God is good. Woo!
Yes.
Praise him. Praise him.
Yes, he is. Would you give us the prayer this morning?
Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just come before you humbly, thanking you for another day that we've never seen. God, this is the day that you have made, and we're going to rejoice, and we're going to be glad in it, oh God. We thank you, God, for life. You said you come that we may have life and have abundant life, regardless, oh God, what it might look like at the naked eye, oh Father God. But we put our hope and our trust in you, oh God. But we walk by faith and not by sight, oh God. We thank you, Father God, for another opportunity, oh God. We just pray, and we thank you, God, for the jewels Deborah, God, that's going to be able to share her life story, oh, Father God. And we praise you. We thank you, God, for her, oh, God, that the ears of every person, oh, God, that will be open, oh, Father God, and take the blinders off of the blind eye to the supernatural, Father God, that life could be changed and transformed. We thank you, God, for this jewel, oh, God, that wanted, oh, Father, so much to fly like a butterfly, oh, Father God, but she was saying she was still crawling like a caterpillar, but we praise God for the many people that continue to intercede through her process of the metamorphosis as she blossomed, oh, Father God, and we thank you for what you're doing through every person, oh, Father God, through internet, the phone, and throughout the world. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I was glad to see that you were on this morning. I wasn't thinking you was going to be on today. So this is good.
I'm here.
All right. I'll get back to you later on so you can give some comments if you would like. Okay?
Okay. We'd love to. Thank you.
You're welcome, babe. Yes, I just wanted to get into, thank you, Frida, for that, too. I tell you, man, I'm so excited. We got so many things going on right now, and we're seeing it developing right in front of our face. It's just so exciting to see God's hands move. You know, sometimes I think about the time when God didn't speak to Abraham for, I think it was 11 or 12 years. And can you imagine when you're driving along, I don't care where you are in this book of life, we may be in different chapters, and we may be in the same chapter and on different pages, but we all in the book of life. And no matter where you are, God's hand is on you, and he's always talking to you. The key is, can you hear him? Where are you in the book as far as hearing God? But he said, I'll never leave you. So when we look at life and we look at the things that we may process and we may go through, God said, he'll take your mess and turn it around to his good. Everything come together for the good. What do you think that means? Everything. Everything means everything. It comes together for the good. He didn't say everything come together for the bad, or he didn't say some things may come together for the good and the rest of it going to go for the to the bad. He said, no, everything come together for the good of those who love the Lord. Now, that was their last part, of those who love the Lord. You love the Lord? There's nothing. He didn't say you have to be perfect. He didn't say you don't make no mistakes. He said, if you love me, everything you do will come, I'll make it come together for the good. So when we look back at the things we've done in our life, And we can forgive ourselves. You know, you have the conversation with God. He'll take that thing and turn it around so that you can help somebody else. See, don't worry about what you've done in the past. Go to God and say, God, you know what? I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Use me to glorify your kingdom. Now you've given him the opportunity to do what? Take your mistakes and use it as a testimony to help somebody else. Everything you go through, you can take it, give it to God, and he'll turn it around and make it good. And that's what I see with the young lady that's with us today. You know, you got to turn around, and then you'll see. Because, you know, sometimes on your journey, got to gather a little experience in order to help somebody. You know, some of the the things that Deborah does and helping the people that she helped, I can't do that in the same manner. Reason why? Because I didn't walk in those shoes. I didn't have that experience, so I don't have that testimony. But the testimonies that I do have, they help other people. You know, I'm the very first one to say, look, I know I messed up, and I'll go to God and say, Lord, can we just start all over again? Because I feel it don't need for me to worry about what I've already done. I can't change that. But can we start all over again? Can we just stop right here? And God always says yes. You've never gone to God and he said no. Now, this is where the trick of the enemy, what he tries to do, he tries to set you up to the point where he wants you to think God said no, because then he's going to try to tell you, well, look, you've been doing this for, what, a year? You've been doing this for 10 years? You've been doing it for 20 years? God haven't heard you. Come on now. But that's not true. God is not a man that will lie. He says, I always say yes. Always say yes. And we sometimes hinder the receiving of those blessings because we waver. And he said, no, if a man waver, meaning that one minute you believe he's going to do it, the next minute you don't believe. See, that's the devil. He keeps you wavering because he says, no man get anything from me if you waver. So the more you waver back and forth, one minute, Lord, I know you're going to do it. Thank you, Jesus. And the next minute, Lord, where are you? Just the fact that you wait until you say, I'm waiting on the manifestation of something, sends a signal of doubt. Because if someone has already given you something that you asked for, you don't have to wait for the manifestation because it's already given to you. The manifestation is in the gift. And when you get the yes, the manifestation is in there. Now, you just got to wait for it to come into your physical being because it's already given in your spiritual realm. So receive it, live in it, love in it. That's where meditation come in. Meditation come in when you sit back and thank God and see yourself with that thing that you ask God for. You don't need any words to do that. That's the be still and know that I'm God moment. Just sit back. See it in your mind's eye. Enjoy it. See yourself doing it, using it, sharing it. Until it makes you smile. You start smiling on the inside because you just see it. You know it. Nobody can't tell you that it's not true. See, that's the manifestation of it. Everything that God gives, he gives it from within. It's in the spiritual realm. Now you just got to wait. And the more you meditate on it, the more you see it, the more you enjoy it, the more you know that God said yes and your faith is building, faith will turn into that substance of the thing that is hoped for. See, substance is the thing that you can feel. So now it's in the solid form. And that's what faith does. Faith comes out of the spiritual realm into the physical realm and forms itself into the hardness of that dream, that request, that desire. That's why he said, it's the substance of things hoped for. Where are you hoping? You're hoping from within. You don't need to talk to anybody about it. They can't do anything for you. Once you ask God for it, you just sit back and you just have an intro conversation with God. That's that ongoing conversation in your head. And you and God just sit back and he just will show you things from within. And when you see it, hold on to it and believe it. That is the manifestation. The manifestation is not in the physical. The manifestation is in the spiritual. Because once you see it, he has given it to you. That's why I tell people, you can't stop anything that you've seen in a vision except you change your mind. So now you see it, and now you're feeling it, and now you know that you know that you know. You don't have to talk about it anymore. You don't have to do anything because now faith is going to move. Faith is the only thing that moves God. So here we go. God has given you something, and God is in everything. There's nothing made that God is not. So there you go. Faith is moving God. It may be that desire you want. It may the prayer, maybe the prayer that you're praying for somebody else. Whatever it is, it's going to take faith to bring it from the spiritual to the physical. You just got to wait on it. Wait on it. It's coming. It's like going to a fine restaurant. Everything is cooked per order. There's nothing sitting around pre-cooked. So that's why they give you the soup. They give you the salad. They bring out the bread. They bring out your drink. And they figure you have conversation. And they're back there cooking. The chef is cooking that one meal that you ordered. And sometimes you get so frustrated that you may say, what's taking so long? It's called fine dining. Fine dining. The best. You got the best chefs back there. The special sauces that they make just for that dish. And finally, when you just feel like, I am tired of waiting. I've had the bread, the soup, the conversation. I've had my drinks. You know, almost ready to have dessert. And the food hasn't gotten here yet. And just when you want to give up and you want to walk out the restaurant, here comes your meal. And then you just sit back down into a rest and your spirit go, whew, here it comes. Here's the meal. I think most of us can relate to that. And don't necessarily have to be fine dining. It can be a slow cook, a busy place. But let's look at fine dining because that's God. He's fine. He's the best of the best. He's quality. But if you get up or had gotten up and walked out of the restaurant, just as you walk out the door and the waiter comes with your meal, you would have missed it. And that's how we miss God. Because we'll wait and the enemy will try to tell you it's not coming, it's not coming, it's not coming. You have to say, shut up, it is. God said it, he cannot lie. It's coming. And I don't know what time and what day, but it's coming. And I believe that. And every day you see yourself enjoying it. And faith will become that substance. That thing you can put your hand on, that thing you can touch, feel, and enjoy in the physical, that thing that you've hoped for. So when I think about our guest today, Deborah, I can imagine what she went through, back and forth, trials and tribulations. But somewhere along the line, she ordered a meal, and she decided, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to sit until I get this meal. Now, when I was reading her bio, it was a piece in there that she gave. I can't think of the word right now. I just went tribute to Cynthia Oliver, our co-host. And I'm going to let her tell her story, but I'm just going to say this part. We go in and we teach and we share what God has placed on our heart for the day. And we never know what you will say or do that will touch someone's life and change it forever. And in her bio, she gave tribute to Cynthia and her training. And something shifted in her spirit, and she made a decision. And that's the story you're going to hear today. So I am extremely proud. I'm going to bring Cynthia on just a moment, Deborah, and then I'm going to come to you. Just give me a second. I'm going to get back to the switchboard. Let's see. My God, the switchboard is full today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can I find Cynthia here? Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How are you?
I am fine. I'm fine. We have a full audience today. Praise God.
Amen.
I just wanted to, I was talking about Deborah, our guest, and in there she gave tribute to you when she was at Jefferson Reed's. And, you know, we taught over there for many years. You said something that particular day when she heard you and it changed her life. And so what I want to tell the audience is that Deborah was a recipient of the Butterfly Award that was last week. No, was it last week or the weekend before? Gosh, Friday before, the 24th of March. And I'm telling you, I was so moved with Deborah's story. I told Cynthia, I said, I want to have Deborah on the radio. And we also shooting television, so I want her and her mother on there too. Her story was just so moving to me. And I just want to say thank you, Cynthia, to you for doing such a wonderful, wonderful job heading up the Butterfly Awards, you know, doing it, stretching yourself beyond belief and pulling people together and all the volunteers. We want to thank all of them. It was absolutely a wonderful show. I was honored to be sitting in the audience. And I just want to give a tribute to you this morning for following God and doing what he's placed in your heart. And if you want to say a couple words now before we bring Deborah on, and then I'll bring Deborah on and bring you back.
Well, I just want to say thank you for your sacrifice and driving all the way here to Florida to be part of that. That just shows me your commitment to program REAP and the Butterfly Awards and our partnership. And I just want to say thank you so much. I just love you to the pieces. You're so supportive of what it is that I do. When you got here, when Frida got here, that's when it really started, because I was really fainting by the time you guys got here at 1:30 in the morning. And when you guys got here, I got that energy because it was like sisterhood and you guys was in the house, and we just made it happen. And I just want to thank you and Frida for all of your driving here from Orlando and North Carolina. And together we made it work. We made it happen. And we just continue to give God the glory because it was his vision that he gave me. And I just thank Deborah as well for being part of it, and because Deborah was a recipient of 2015, and she came to share her sentiment this year. And so I continue to just thank everyone who was involved, all the recipients, all those who showed up, and that's it for me. I just want to say thank you, and thank you, God, for the vision in order to do this, honoring women who have gone through incredible odds. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Okay, and I'll come back to you, okay?
Okay.
All right, now, audience, let me look at the bio here. I'm not going to read this bio because I don't want to tell her story. Her name is Deborah Tyler, and she is a care support coordinator at A Better Way of Miami in South Florida, and she helped the homeless find affordable housing. And, you know, when I spoke earlier about, you know, your testimony, had she not been homeless, she would not be able to help the homeless in the way that she helped them from a place in her being. We can all help somebody find a house. But when you've been there and done that, you can empathize with what it feels like. Because she didn't, your heart and your soul cried. Your spirit cry out because you know what it's like not to have a place to lay your head. So I'm going to bring Deborah on. And let's see here if I can find Deborah. Oh, there we go. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, Dr. Dexter.
How are you?
I'm fine. Praise the Lord. And yourself?
I'm doing good. Can you get a little closer to the mic or something? I can't hardly hear you. Maybe.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's a little better. Now I know you got a big mouth. You like me, so don't hold back.
I'm telling you, Deborah.
Go ahead.
Good morning to all the audience and everybody that's listening around the world. I just want to say thank you, Dr. Bessie and Cynthia, for having me on this fabulous morning daughter and mother show. I'm excited. I'm trying to contain myself, and I'm trying to just say, hold it now, hold it. I'm trying to go easy, but I just want to just say thank you to the Lord for allowing me to wake up this morning to see this day, to be able to be part of this, because I believe that everything is predestinated predetermined that I was going to be on this show today. I was going to be able to tell the world the story that I have kind of hid from shame. And so I would like to just say that, yes, I do work at Better Way of Miami, and we do provide housing for the homeless people. And I was once an individual that found myself actually sleeping outside. I had the opportunity to sleep inside, but since I was chasing drugs all night, I couldn't go inside because I was scared I was going to miss something. So I chose to sleep in places that wasn't safe for women, behind the house, on the side of the house, on the front porch, on the steps, in the backyard. Wherever I found myself sleeping, I have such a passion for the people that every time I think that I'm getting where I get above myself, or I start to think that I'm more than, I just take a ride home the long way. And when I come up my block, I see about 30 people laying on the sidewalk, and I just start saying, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for deliverance. I thank you, Lord, for cleaning me up and getting me going. I thank you, Lord, and I pray for the people. And I come to myself, and I say, Lord, but God, by your grace, I could have been still one of those numbers. Maybe I didn't sleep on that sidewalk, or maybe I didn't sleep where the world could see me, but I was in some places where I knew some neighbors in the neighborhood see me, places that was unfit for a woman to be, you know, all because of a drug addiction, chasing drugs, you know. And you know, it's funny how you were saying earlier about, you know, about faith and about, you know, praying to God and then believing God going to do it and believe until you see it. And I had to walk there, and I said that when I took it a block right quick. And so being homeless for me wasn't something I wasn't familiar with. At a young age, at 13, I ran away from home, and I experienced being homeless. I wanted to be grown and wanted to smoke weed. That's where all the drugs started, and the drinking and unforbidden sex, which other way you want to say it, man, woman, however, whatever was going on in that era back then, I was part of it. So I've been some places that I ain't proud to say, but I tell you that God kept his hands on me, because it could have been a lot worse walking the street. It could have been a whole lot of other things that happened in my life, but God spared me. I didn't have any major incidents when I was out there. I didn't have any brutal incidents. I didn't have nothing traumatized. I was just stuck in a world that you got me, I got you type mentality. And so I knew how to get me. I knew how to be whatever you wanted me to be so I can get what I need to get. Drugs had a hold on me. Uh-huh. You know, and so from 13 and then, you know, in and out of the system, juvenile justice, you know, I broke my mama heart in a million pieces. And like I told you the other day when we spoke, I don't know if she's totally ready for the world to hear the story. I keep trying to, you know, bring a little bit here and there to see how much she's grown since, you know, we have rebuilt our relationship as adults, me being an adult, rather. And, you know, we came a long ways, and I'm just excited about that day when she finally come to the point where she could sit down and have that interview with you and tell the world how she made it through. I was the first daughter, so I had been groomed to cook and to run errands, and she had invested a lot in me, but I was a mischievous child. So like I say, I was down the street, you know, run away, come back, you know, run away, come back, get put in a group home, get put in a foster home, get put in a shelter, run away, come back. And then 17, something major happened in my life where I was involved with some guys, and somebody lost their life. And I don't play that I was innocent 100%, but I had a part in it. And somebody lost their life, and I went to prison behind being involved in this supposed to be robbery gone bad, you could say. And at 17, they sentenced me to a life sentence and 25 mandatory, and they said I was going to die in prison. And, you know, I never accept that I was going to die. I never believed that. I just never believed. I knew I was going to do some time, but I just never believed that God was working for me when I couldn't work for myself. Some people was praying for me. I had a praying grandmama, praying mama. At this time, my mama probably was on the verge of a nervous breakdown. She tells me many years later that she almost lost her mind. But one good thing that came out of that is she came to know the Lord. She gave her life to Christ. And she said, I got to just hold on because I got three more kids I need to raise. I can't lose it right now. And she gave her life to Christ behind me going to prison with a life sentence at 17. You know, that was heartbreaking. on top of what I had already been doing the 4 years before. So I knew I crushed her heart in million pieces. And sometimes I'm still saying I'm sorry. And she said, Deborah, it's done. It's, you know, and sometimes when Mother's Day come and I sang the song, I thought you liked to know all those nights you paced the floor praying I make it home. I thought you liked to know, Mama, I'm free. And I just break down and cry because I can never finish the song. Don't know the whole song anyway, but I try to sing it to her. And so I always make sure that, you know, I let her know I love you, I appreciate you. And, you know, I just had her down here. Matter of fact, I'm jumping all over a little bit. I had her down here like 3 weeks ago, and whatever she wanted. You want to go to the wig store, you want a couple wigs, you want face powder, whatever you want, go get it. Go. I said, you got $100 in your pocket, you got $100 to spend. Well, of course, when she left, it was about $300. I said, you can go home now, you know, like you know, you got Mother's Day early. And so I just be excited when she come to see me because she's in Palm Beach and I'm in Miami. I don't see her often through this part of the year, more like the end, November, Christmas, like that, unless she come down. But I'm just thankful to God, you know. And let me just get back to this part about the testimony. God spoke to me in that prison cell. I was 30. I had been in prison 13 years then. And all I would say to God was, I never prayed about getting out. I just never knew I'd be in there forever. I had that feeling. But the sentence say life until your breath stops, your heart stops, you're going to be in that prison because that's what life is until you die. But God had a plan already before the book of life was the book of life. The end was the beginning, and the beginning was he had already had a plan, and I believe that I had to take that journey so I could come out and I could help people to understand that, you know, the streets, ain't nothing in the streets but trouble. Them guys told me, stay home. I begged the phone to want to ride with them because I didn't want to be a couch potato. I didn't like sitting home and all that, and I begged to ride with them cats, and this is what happened. It's what I got. I got a life sentence in 25 minutes where they told me to stay home. Prison, and I got to deal with 600 women. I got to be, you know, you got to watch your back. And anyway, make a long story short, PB's always say to me, they knew I had a lot of time, but I never would say to them, what you in here for? Because I don't need you asking me what I'm in here for. So I don't ask questions, and I don't want questions to be asked. So as time went on, I would always say when it did ask me, when you going home, girl? When you going home? Oh, I said, I'm going home in 2 years. Nah, I got life now. I've got life now. But I'm going home in 2 years. And every time they asked me 2 more years, 10 years, I went by, I'm still saying 2 years. But when I turned 30 and gave my life to Christ, I was on that cold 8x10 cell floor, and I was in that praying prospect down on the cold floor saying, Jesus, just teach me how to be a Christian. Teach me how to live for you. No more sex with people in the same sex. No more lying. No more conning the guards. No more drinking and smoking. No more drugs. Just teach me how to be saved. Teach me how to live for you. I never prayed about going home. And one day on that floor, God said to me, he said, now you're on the right track. I'm going to let you go. He didn't say when. He didn't say how. He didn't say. He just said, I'm going to let you go. You're on the right track. So now I'm trying to, I got a Christian officer preaching the word to me every Sunday. I can't wait for her to come because she's feeding my spirit. I'm a babe in Christ. And she's saying, I said, you know, the Lord, you know, and the Lord this, and the Lord told me this. She said, you got to walk. You got to walk in faith. You got to walk in faith. What do you mean? She said, you got to say it. You got to believe it before you receive it. Not like the word says, when I see it, I believe it. You got to believe it before you see it. You got to speak it into existence. And I will go around and tell people I'm going home. Now, I got life. I'm supposed to die. I'm going home. So I filed a clemency. And I said, I don't know if it's going to be this, how it's going to roll out. But the clemency, people don't really get clemency because they're so hard to get. Because if you sign the line and say you believe in me, and if I get out in 3 years and commit a crime, in 3 years you lose your job. So imagine the governor losing his job. Imagine the commissioner, the treasurer in Tallahassee losing their job. So that's why you don't get clemency, because people put their jobs on the line. Saying you believe so much, you're willing to risk your job. But God had a thing with Governor Childs. He touched the man hard. The man said something about the lady that I can't sleep at night. There's a petition on his table. There's something about the lady. I cannot pass this up. And God touched
come
me
on
hard.
Now.
Three people signed. They let me out, and before I could meet Governor Child, he died. 2 months later, after he signed his name on the line, he died praising God, doing his morning spiritual workout. I got out, they invited me up as a guest, rode out the red carpet, and I'm sitting on this side saying, Lord, I just thank you. And remember, I'm still trying to keep myself humble because it ain't me. I'm trying to just not throw in my side type. It ain't me. praise you, Lord. I praise you. You know, I got out living for the Lord, and the devil was mad now. But I hadn't dealt with that weed habit and that alcoholic habit. I just stopped drinking. So that thing flared back up 8 years later. I'm on fire for the Lord. I'm going around the world trying to save everybody. I'm going to get a Palm Beach, talking to high school, detention centers. I'm going wherever they let me in free of charge. That's my passion. I'm coming. I'm coming. And I'm trying to save the world and secretly die. I'm playing with the bottle. And then the bottle played with me. And so that's how I ended up in 2006 going to Jefferson Reed because I had backslid, walked away from God, and was going back to a familiar spirit. And I played with alcohol, and then I was introduced to cocaine and crack and all those other things, mixed it up, pill pop, and all that came on the scene, and I just lost my hope. Oh, let me back up. God set me free. I got to get his testimony. So I got saved when I was 30 in prison. And then, so I'm speaking and speaking and speaking and speaking into existence, telling people I'm going home. People saying, oh, she's a Jesus freak. Now she got saved, and she wearing dresses. They had never seen me in a dress since I was there all those 13 years. And they said, oh, she wear that dress. She's serious by God. And they waited on me to put that dress on Saturday morning to go out there and do that volunteer service in the chapel. They said, if she put that dress on, she's serious by God, because she got a no-dress tolerance. So I put that dress on, and the wind was blowing through my legs. And I said, woo, Lord. And I went on to the church, and I was holding the Bible under my arm, and God said, if you hide my word, why you got my word under your arm like you shame on me? You got it all tucked up under the coat, under the Bible. And I said, Lord, my God, just teach me how to live for you, Lord. He said, don't be ashamed of my word. Don't be ashamed of what I'm doing for you. And when I kept telling the people I was going home, I was going home. 2 years later, they shut down a teletype in the computer and says, immediately release. Immediately release. The people was trying to figure out, they had a call sheet, a memo to say who got appointments the next day, and my name popped up and said pre-release. The people, the inmate said, that's got to be a mistake. Something wrong. Something, how her name, she's supposed to die, how is she going to pre-release? And so now they don't believe that it's pre-release. So the next day they got to be out on the campus to see if I'm going to classification. They go to pre-release. They got to see it for themselves. Like the world said, I got to see it, then I believe it. But God said, I want you to believe it before you see it. And I believe that he was going to send me home. And I kept telling people, I'm going home. I don't know when, but I'm going home. I'm settling work. It was saying, the devil trying to come, what if, the little doubt. You know, in the Bible, the scripture say, Lord, I believe will help my unbelief. The little doubt trying to come every now and then. I said, God, set me free. I walked out of that prison. The people went on strike. They said, we're not going to work. We still got to see it, but we believe it. We don't see the call out. We don't see them sitting in the class. They in the class trying to ask me, what you doing here? I said, pay attention to the instructor because it's information that you're going to need. Just pay attention. What you doing here? So finally, I leave them and say, the same thing you doing in here. They just couldn't pay attention. Went on how I got in prison. I'm doing the same thing you're doing here. I'm getting ready to leave this place. Then my lawyer told me, don't tell nobody. She told me, don't tell nobody at first place. She said, don't tell nobody because they might set you up. So I said, it's like fire set up in my bones. Don't tell nobody. How can I not tell nobody? And then so I slid to my favorite officer and I said, I got to tell you something, but don't tell nobody. I got to tell you that God did it. I got to slid to my other Christian officer. And, you know, I said, I got to tell you, you've been praying for me that God did it. And I was all over the place. He said, by now everybody knows. And I said, I'm sorry. To my lawyer, but I had to tell somebody, my goodness. I walked out that prison today. Walked out that prison not even 3 years paid. They took the life in his back. When God do what he do it. So we're going to put you in a transitional place for a year so you can wean into society. We want to put you to the world. And so he took the life in his back, gave me a clemency. And God's been dealing with me ever since. And it's been rough some days, some of the stuff I brought on myself. I put myself in positions that I shouldn't have been in, things I thought I didn't have an issue with. I was in denial about it with the same substance abuse, and it just showed its head. And now I say I'm grown. I'm 21. I could drink, to rationalize, and say, well, Jesus made wine. But then I also knew the scripture about it. Don't be intoxicated with strong drinks. I knew that scripture, too. So I was hiding. You know, and so they just took off, and then over time, they just graduated to the next drug. And so 2006, I found myself in treatment after going to jail repeatedly you know, like people saying, now you back. Now, who would want to go to jail after doing 15, almost 16 years in prison? Who would want to go to jail ever again? Who would only want to go deal with those people? But I did. I came to Miami, got stuck, came to visit somebody, and I've been here ever since. It's 2017. I came in 2006, been here ever since. And so
okay, now I'm going to interrupt you right in there, Deborah.
Okay.
I'm going to let you finish that thought, and then I want to say something. Go ahead, finish that thought.
That's how I ended up at the treatment center, and I did 5 months, and I met Cynthia during the class, and I got to say that the sister was laying the stuff down so hard, so deep, I said, my God, she had me thinking. I was already sure that I was sure, but she just put the icing on the sure, and she was saying that
mm-hmm.
you owe it to yourself, that you're better than that, you're bigger than that, that God got something for you, and that just take the next step. God got you. Just keep going forward. Don't look back, you know. And I tell you, I enjoyed a class. I never missed a class. I enjoyed a class so much, and I learned a lot. And I thank God for people like that come and had a passion and the love to just pour into other people, you know. And so I want to thank you for allowing me.
That's what I wanted to try to drive you to how did you get to what happened with Cynthia at the Jefferson Reed. Because our time is getting kind of close. I mean, I know everybody is sitting on the edge of their seats. I mean, I am just chills running over my body because I hear the passion. I hear, oh my God. I didn't know this part of the story when I started this morning. The Holy Spirit just spoke through me and said, tell them the story about the restaurant. You got to wait. You see? And then you got to see it and believe it. And
yeah.
I didn't know you was going to say that now. That was the Holy Spirit. He set it up for you because he knew what you were going to say. Because that's where we, you know, you have to say it. Sometimes people say to me, you say the same thing over. I tell people, I say, I'm getting my RV, I'm driving, I'm ticking around, you know, I'm in my jet, or I'm going to have this, and this is what I'm going to do. And people can't understand that sometimes because they think you're just outwardly talking. He said you got to speak those things as if they were. And if you walk around and don't talk about it, you know, hey, you're never going to get it. You got to say it, and you got to believe it. You can't think it and believe it and it happened. You got to say it. That's why you got to confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You can't hide it in your heart and say, oh, Lord, me, you good to go. Mm-mm. He said confess it. You got to speak those words because the power of creation is in the word. So you didn't care about what they said. She got home. They thought you were crazy. Well, people will think you crazy when God done told you something and you see it within your mind's eye. You pregnant with that baby and you know you're going to have that baby. And so what you have is that testimony that if you believe God, if he said it, believe it, don't leave the restaurant. Wait for the meal. The meal is coming. Wait. People leave, but you waited. Not only did you come out of prison and supposed to be there for the rest of your life, you got clemency. And to make sure nothing happened to that, God used a man that he knew probably was making his transition out. Don't tell me what God won't do. But see, the enemy is quick. I'm going to tell the story, and then I'm going to open it up. Anybody that wants to ask a question, please click on your number one, and you can talk to Deb and ask her a question if you have a question. Just click one, and I'll get to you. God showed me a table, and he said, Deborah, before I place a table, I prepare a table before your enemy. Now, we've heard that. Now, just imagine in your mind's eye, audience, a table that God has placed there, and on that table, every promise that he has promised you is on that table. Your salvation is on that table. He said, I prepare before your enemy a table. So the enemy is not the person that talk about you. It's not the person that, you know, don't like you, whatever. It's not a human being. The enemy is Satan. Because remember he said it's spiritual warfare. So now Satan is sitting there watching, and Deborah goes to the table. And she said, God, you told me that you was going to let me go. So Deborah goes to the table, and she see freedom. She see liberty. She says, I'm going to take this because God already gave it to me. See, that's the manifestation. It's already on the table. We don't go to the table to get it. You went and you took it. Okay, now you walk off and you say, okay, I can't believe I got it. I got it. Okay, they say I can go. Let her go. Let her go right now. Boom, boom, boom. You out the door. And Satan is trotting right behind. He done made assignments right on him. Now you stick with Deborah. You stick with her. We're going to take that back. We're going to take it back. She ain't going to. So you smooth for a while, and then they attack you. That was that attack to get you to turn back. Because most time when people turn back, it takes something to go back to God because of shame, unforgiveness. People don't want to go back to God because they're thinking, well, he might not never forgive me again, or but you were already forgiven. I am so proud of your story. I am so proud. But I have to ask you this question. What was your mother and daughter relationship like when you were a younger girl before you ran away? And then I'm opening up to the audience.
Well, my mom's relationship with me was like, you know, typical mother daughter. She was a strict parent. She was loving. She you know, she worked her fingers to the bone to provide for us, and she showed us, you know, examples of, you know, how to be responsible, and was teaching us things. And it was five of us, so we didn't have like I didn't have like the one on one, you know, to sit down and the conversation. Of course, I'm probably 12, 13 now. She's working a lot. But I had, I remember I used to always, she's always had me make carrot juice for her. And I always make the carrot juice. She would always have me braid my hair, Deborah. And I used to have a soul spoil. I braid her hair while she sleeps. She say, tell me when to turn over, baby. I turn over. Now she sleep. She say, ain't got to be straight. I'm going to put the wig on. And I'll braid her hair and wake up. Mama turn over and braid her hair and make her carrot juice and go vacuum her room and all of that. You know, I was the first girl. She tells me, she says, Deborah, you was my first girl, my first born girl whom I dressed in pink. And I never liked pink till just like maybe last year. She said, I put you in pink. Everything was pink all the time. And so I tell her, you know, when I go down there, I tell her, I sit there and I look at her. And I see me so much of my toes look like her, my lips look like her. And then the more I get older, people say, you look just like your mom. I look like my mom more than any child that she got. And, this relationship we have now is beautiful. Since I've been out, almost 18, almost 20 years since 98. And like I said, I had to fall in six. But about 7 years now, I haven't drank or smoked anything. So I've been able to be with my mom and, you know, wine and dine and just hang out with her and spend time with her, spend the weekend. And, you know, and she just tells me, she said, I didn't know you were so funny. She said, you just keep laughing. And so, you know, the Bible talks about laughing is like medicine. She said, I just didn't know you were so funny. And so we just have the greatest time, and I'm just free to be me, who I am, and I'm just loving it. And I thank
all
God
right.
for restoration.
Well, I can't
and
wait
I'm
to meet your mom.
Her. I'm working on her. Keep praying for
that's okay.
For me.
Oh, I'm going to be like I did Cynthia. I'll come down there. I'm gonna open the lines up now for Cynthia.
Okay.
That's what I did for Cynthia. I went down there and said, let's go get your mom. Let's see here. Cynthia.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we'll take your comments now. You know, this is awesome, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely awesome. I'm gonna make it quick and to the point. Deborah gave me tribute, but you know, it's always the Holy Spirit speaking. I tell the girls all the time, God, I'm only there for one or two people every institution I go in and every class that I go in. And Deborah mm-hmm. just was ready, and she had already decided that she was done with that life. And the Holy Spirit just fed what God had already given her. So God is all confirming. And so Deborah was open to hear, because God tell us, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. And so Deborah was already, she had already made up her mind, and God was just confirming what he had already told her through me. And I'm just so glad. I told her last night, I can't imagine not having met you, because you are such an awesome woman of God. And she is hilarious. I told her she needs to go into comedy. because she is just absolutely ridiculously funny. And but as far as a question to her, I have no questions because last night her and I we spent at least an hour on the phone, probably more than that. I didn't know the full extent of the story until last night. So Deborah, I'm so proud of you, baby girl. Just keep moving forward in God, and just know that He had a plan for you, and He did not allow the enemy to destroy you in Jesus' name. And I love you to pieces. Thank you,
love
Dr. Lynch, for letting me speak.
Oh yeah, you know, it's amazing. It's so much going on. I'm just like blown away. Last week with the Butterfly Awards, we saw so many women, and I did, audience, let me correct what I said earlier. I said Deborah got an award. She did get one at the first one. She was really giving comments, and she spoke and was just absolutely, I was standing up on my feet. But you can imagine women that were there that were brought from prison, dressed up, makeup, hair, you know, the fashion show, and the women that were in prison sitting at the tables. And I just want to thank the warden and the lieutenant and the individuals at the prison where we work, Cynthia and I, at the Hollywood Correctional. It's a work release prison there. And it's gone on about 4 years that we've been teaching, but mainly Cynthia, when I had to come take care of my dad, Cynthia, it kept the ball rolling, kept it moving, and have us looking and in a good position as we work with the prison. Now we're getting ready to do the Bible college there. So, but just to have a rapport that she's built with the warden and the lieutenant is that they were allowing, they would bring the ladies. You know, and that's speaking volumes for a program. And have those ladies out there and hear Deborah's story, you know, to hear how what she went through and look at her. She's beautiful. And she just got, I mean, she really is. I mean, the money's on the table for the comedian. I mean, it's just the way she tells that story. And every comedian, they only tell their life story. You know what I'm saying? And but she shares it in such a way, but yet there's that depth of seriousness that you know. She was a cocoon, and when she really decided, I'm breaking out of this, those shackles broke off, and she started flying. So I just want to thank you, audience. If you have anything you want to say, please click one. I know you're listening. I just want to say thank you, Deborah. Thank you for sharing your life. I can't wait to meet your mother. I can only imagine in her heart, you know, when someone say your daughter's going to be somewhere for life in prison, that's enough to take you to Jesus, because she knew that was the only person that was going to save you. And there's nothing like a praying mother and a praying grandmother. And then, and most importantly, praying for yourself out there, mothers and daughters. You know, people can pray with you, but you can't depend on people praying with you. Your mother and your grandmother, they gonna take you to Christ. But even at that, you gotta go to Him for yourself. You when you fell on your face in that prison, Deborah, and you fell at the feet of Jesus, He said, "Okay, now you ready." There ain't nothing that God can't do. Nothing's impossible for God. For those who believe. If you believe it and you ask God for it, it's yours. The question is, do you believe Him? That's why I like Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. Have faith in God. He tells you, just have faith in me. There's nothing that you will ask me for that I would not give you. Let me see if Frida want to say something else. I did tell her we got a couple of minutes here. Frida, are you there?
Yes, yes, I am here. I had invited a couple of friends, and her name is Deborah. She's listening from Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know if she wanted to make a comment or not, but I want to say that, oh my God, I was truly blessed just to be in a presence with sisters that I say that are trailblazers, and that we went to, after the program, the ceremony, we went to church with Cynthia, our fellowship with her and her husband, and then afterwards we were invited, a young lady that asked us to be a blessing for lunch, and she said, "I apologize, I wasn't able to come. Could you tell me a little bit about it?" So I didn't know that Deborah's story had affected me so much, because I started to talk and I broke down and was crying. And she says, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry that I missed it. But I am extremely proud that you use a principle that is so powerful. And we mentioned to people, be careful with the words that you speak, because they're very powerful. Because in the book of Peter, it says that our mouth is like rudder on a ship. The ship is huge, but the rudder is small. Well, our mouth and the word of God said is that powerful, that as a powerful that within time it would turn the ship. So that's what happened. You continue to speak and your ship was turning, even though we don't know.
Amen.
Because we
Amen.
Don't see it. But our words are that powerful. So I just admonish everybody that's listening, be careful for the things that you say. Because you can either have a funeral or a future speaking over your life.
Oh, girl, you better stop
right.
it.
Funeralize it or future.
Woo!
So that's what I heard the Lord say. So we are moving. We're movers and shakers. We thank you for you all to come on aboard, to be a part of what God has for you in your life. We praise God for Cynthia Oliver. You talk about somebody that is driven. She didn't even eat. And I have saw people that didn't eat, but she didn't even drink a cup of water. Going 48 hours, it was going. And she was just, everything was about the ladies. Everything was about being a servant, just being a person that let the light shine on somebody else. So I'm just blessed to be able to see women that have a heart, because ministry is not just behind a pulpit. It's beyond the four walls, and that's what we're doing. We're going beyond. We're behind going beyond the four walls, and everywhere you go is your ministry. So we praise God for you, Deborah, and I just continue just to stay connected with people that's going to celebrate you and not pull you down.
Amen.
And
right.
that's what we do
All
at Mother
right.
and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries. We embrace you.
Thank you so much.
All
praise
right.
you.
All right. This is good. This is good. This is good. We are coming to the end of the show, which is absolutely powerful. But before we go, Deborah, I need to say this, because the Agape Worship Center Women of Virtue Ministry presents Redesigning Me. And the host pastor is Pastor Elaine J. Mack. And I just want to thank Kimberly Bostic for inviting us down. We're going to be down there May the 20th. For all the people that are listening in Florida, May the 20th, we're coming down. I'm doing a workshop there, Redesigning Me, Personal Development Training. It's Saturday, May the 20th, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a free event, and I'll be giving you on Saturday mornings from now on an update on the time and place. I don't have time to do all that now. I'm looking at it. They did a beautiful, beautiful flyer and send it to me, but just keep that in mind. Tell your friends. I will be down there doing the workshop May the 20th, Redesigning Me. Deborah, thank you so very much for being on the show.
Sure.
And audience, if you just hold on just 1 minute. Hold on.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
That's our time for the day. Join us next Saturday. We're here every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 a.m. And we're having another guest next Saturday. You don't want to miss the show. Thank you, Deborah. God bless you. And I look forward to seeing you when I hit back down in Florida.
Okay. God bless.
All right, y'all. Have a blessed weekend. Bye-bye.